recording this.
It's recording.
Ladies and gentlemen, here they are, back again. What a sad clapter. Clapter? Hey, I just coined a word. What a sad clapter.
Clapter. Off to a great start.
It's half laughter, half clapping. Clapter.
Hit the ground running.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Webcomics Weekly, the expertly recorded, impeccably timed, perfectly humorous every moment podcast brought to you by the good folks at Hormel Chili.
What is it with you and Hormel Chili, by the way?
That absolutely killed me on the Brad Geiger dance song page that's brought to you by Hormel Chili. They've got a stake in it.
I just love that. I love the idea that somewhere in a Hormel Chili marketing department, they're like, this, gentlemen, this right. is what we need to be a part of.
You know, the funny thing is I've had Hormel Chili, and I think that's the only thing they've got steak in.
Oh, no. Excellent.
Well, we're off to a good start. We're off to a good start this week.
Man. I'm done.
You
know,
I keep treating our sponsors like this, it's a wonder that Southwest still flies us out to Los Angeles every weekend.
Well, thankfully we've moved to Virgin America, so they're now flying us out. So gents, what is on? Well, you know what? We should do the introductions. Sitting quietly by the fireside, slippers on feet, pipe in hand, I'm Dave Kellett. I do a little comic strip called Sheldon at SheldonComics.com. And my other strip that I'm very proud of, Chainsaw Suit at ChainsawSuit.com. And over here on my right, why, it's Brad Geiger.
Hanging from the rafters, upside down, blowing soap bubbles in Philadelphia. And I do a comic called Evil Incorporated at evil-comic.com. And over there in the corner, I can see some eyes glowing in the distance. It's Christopher Straub.
I'm just happy to be here.
Nice. Hey, that was a really good
George Harrison.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you. That was a really good Forgotten Beatle.
You know what's funny? I was trying to come up with an insulting non-Beatle, and my mind couldn't think of one. I was like, Mick Jagger. No, he's too close.
The impression was so dead on that you couldn't escape. That's who it was.
It was so John Lennon that literally Yoko was popping into my mind. That's how good it was.
I'm not hanging from the rafters. I'm not sitting by the fire. But I am here, and I do a strip called Starslip at starslip.com. And I'm so happy that I handed off Chainsaw Suit today because he took that ball and he's running with it. I like
and
what
I tell you what, it's been almost a seamless transition in art style. I don't think anyone's even noticed.
Well, you took that sabbatical to practice. And it's really showing.
And I tell you what, your tip about putting the stylus in my teeth to do it has actually been very helpful.
You are not kidding me. Oh my God.
I like for a split
a lot of second. Shame.
You hear your mind going, do I insult back? How do I take it?
You know, can't insult back. Absolutely cannot. It looks pretty bad.
And it does not.
Bothers me a great deal that it's doing well.
Now let's be honest. That thing, from a creative standpoint, that thing is a cash cow in terms of time spent versus.
It is. It'll get to that point. So I'm happy about that.
In business parlance, that thing has a great return on investment. No, no way to say it for in terms of time spent.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, because it's the thing I spend the least time on. I just wish that time spent was an indicator, it was directly related to what I get out of Starslip as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Chainsaw Suit has like 2/3 the audience of Starslip at this point. And it takes me like 20 times as long to draw that.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you think though, and Brad, I want to get an amen from you on this. So that's living proof about the argument we've had before that both in terms of audience reaction and in terms of the art itself, is that the writing is just as, if not more important than the art.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, yeah. You know, sometimes, I mean, there are people out there who appreciate the art, and those people you want to hold close and never let them go. But, you know, sometimes I really do think I'm doing the art for myself, and the writing is what I'm doing for my audience. But sometimes
yeah.
I think my art I'm doing for myself. Nobody else is appreciating it quite as much as I am. It's the writing they come for time and time again.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. You know what, though? I wonder – I'm going to throw this out, and you guys tell me if this is bullshit. Do people come for the writing and stay for the art? Is that a good way to look at it?
I don't know. Well, the question is, what about the writing was going to drive them away? Do they come for the – they're like, the writing's not doing it for me, but the art is good, so I'll stick around. I don't think that's
– Well, all right, but I say this as an artist, but, like, I will – on Charles Christopher or on Kookaburri or like just a couple strips that I'm like a total fan before, I will reread strips that I've already read just because I'm like poring over the art. I'm looking at how their line art worked and
I've had this argument just this week on webcomics.com with some people and that is that you are not the standard webcomics reader. You're a web cartoonist. You're looking at this with completely different eyes. So you can't
expect
anybody to be like you. It's the phrase that I keep saying, and I'm sure people are getting tired of it on the site. It's the difference between market research and mirror research. And the danger here is to do mirror research, and that is to say, you know, other people are coming to this thing the way I am. You can't. You're a cartoonist. Of course you're going to be grooving on brush strokes and wondering whether that's a dry brush technique or something he did with a Photoshop filter. Goons like us do that. But the readers, the actual readers, the people that make up 80-90% of your audience, they don't care. They couldn't care less. They know, oh, this is a well-drawn strip. The art is an important part of the strip. But that's not the real reader. And I will argue that the reader comes for the writing first. But a well-drawn strip does have a certain staying power so that, and I do think this is the case, sometimes when the writing flags a little bit, everybody's writing has peaks and valleys, mm-hmm. and they hit sometimes and they miss sometimes. If you got really consistent art so that you give them a little bit of something to come back for, maybe the writing didn't hit a home run, but that art was enough to keep you to come back the next day on your next webcomics trawl in the morning through your bookmarks, then it's doing its job.
Well, I got to
thank you because I'd never heard that phrase market research versus mirror research.
Yeah.
I like the little play on that. That's a clever way to look at that.
Yeah, well, I coined it in Seattle talking to somebody.
Oh, did you?
I was talking to somebody about some kind of project they were talking about and they said, "Well, geez, if you're like me, then you do this." And what the person had described was something that I know was definitely not how 90% of the users use this particular product. And I said, "Well, that's mirror research. What you need is market research. You know, you are not the typical user of this product." And it went from there, and it kind of stuck in my head. You know.
Well, yeah, no, it's very clever, but not to be argumentative. But Brad, if you were as good looking as I am, what do you think though? That mirror research. I mean, it's hard not for me to not do mirror research.
I want to do research in your mirror. Is that it?
Chris is like, I want to stand behind you at your mirror
as you do that.
And also, as you do mirror research. I like, by the way, Brad, that your immediate response was if that was great. I like that. What was I going to say? I forgot. Good job, Dave. I cut off Chris to make a stupid point, and then I forgot what. Well, anyway, Chris, you go ahead. You were going to make a follow up thought.
Oh, I got nothing.
Okay,
go ahead now. Go ahead.
Okay, so I've got a hypothetical for you, and I know we keep we go over this about every 6 weeks, and I apologize if I keep bringing it up. But let's play a hypothetical for a minute. Let's say that Calvin and Hobbes was terribly drawn. How much of its audience do you think it would have lost or never gained? Like, let's say if its total audience is X, it would have been X divided by what, or X minus what? What do you think it would have? If it was not well drawn.
I think it would have lost no more than 10% of its readers.
Really?
Yep.
Because
it was
the only thing it's going to lose out on is you just have to see how many awards it won for art. Everything else would probably still be there, right?
Right.
Well, so I've developed a new theory actually about whether the writing or the art is important, and it actually came by overhearing my wife talk to another artist who's kind of going through an emotional slump, And his problem as an artist is that he doesn't command much self-respect from the producers or people that he works with. So people step on him a lot, you know, and even though he's incredibly talented, they step on him a lot. And my wife came up with a word, I don't know if she coined it or just was repeating it, but she said to him, you teach people how you want to be treated. You know, mm-hmm. that all of us teach people how we want to be treated and how we should be treated.
Well, I know
and
where
here's
she
my
came
theory
up
of how that,
that.
What's that? What's that?
I know where she came up with that. She heard you say it on the podcast way back when we were on Talk Shoe. I know I've heard that come out of your mouth.
Oh, really? You oh, well, maybe it's something we
Dave,
both.
Dave, you might have written that in the book. I'm telling you. I know that
Dave,
you said
tell
that.
Your wife that she did not come up with that.
Brad was very angry about that.
That is Gloria.
You get Gloria on the line. Get her on Skype right now because she stole that from you.
That is
well, maybe it's – you know what though, Brad? I am very forgetful, so maybe it's something that
cool.
I got from
you. But anyway, go ahead
Gloria,
with your point
not...
before I derail you.
Well, here's the point that I was going to say is that as a – let's say your comic strip teaches people how it should judge it. Mm-hmm. So Dilbert teaches people that it should judge it the art as it is and then focus on the writing more. And maybe Calvin and Hobbes taught people that it should focus on the art.
Well, and you know what? I'm going to go back and change. You know? I'm going to go back and change my percentage too, because as I'm going through, there were a lot of strips that was just based on the strength of the art. Like when Calvin was having a daydream about being Spaceman Spiff or a dinosaur. The art really carried that way more than the punchline ever did. So
right.
That number's going to be higher because there were times that it's like that footsteps in the sand thing. You know, there were times when the art was carrying the carrying the writing.
I just like the idea that Jesus is like, don't worry, Bill. I've got you this week.
I did just draw all the gum on
just,
Calvin's
you know
face.
What?
Really make it
Bill,
elaborate. It'll look good.
Bill, it's Jesus calling. Listen, just draw a Tyrannosaurus Rex flying an F-16. You're going to be okay.
And you're done.
And you're done. No joke necessary. Just let the visuals carry it this week.
Or you know what? Or make it a little preachy. That's fine. I mean, if you want to toss something in there, that's okay.
You know what? I don't. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, Bill. And I'm saying this as your Lord. I don't even think most people know who John Calvin or Hobbes were.
I don't think that matters.
I love how Dave gave up on the first name there.
I did forget who Hobbes' first name was. What was it? Was it John Hobbes?
I don't know.
I never knew. I would have guessed Thomas.
You know what? They're probably both John.
Yeah.
Back then, everybody was named John.
You know what? Was it Thomas Hobbes? Was that who
I want to say it was Thomas.
I want to say it was Thomas, too. But yeah, I mean, it was like there were Sundays when he drew the dinosaur in the F-15 and he looked back and there was only one set of footprints. And I'll tell you, it wasn't the writing. So I think that percentage might have been higher, and I think what your wife cribbed from you to tell to this guy was probably right. And that
still
is,
angry, still you, angry about it, still angry
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, I'm not letting it go. But I think she's absolutely right to use that phrase. You do teach people how you want to be treated, and you do that on your site every time, and you do that in emails. There are emails that you don't respond to because you just don't want to give it the reinforcement. And there are people that comment on your blog that you respond to immediately and try to strike that up because you want to show people, hey, this is the kind of thing that I want to do here. You know what I mean?
Yes. You know, we haven't talked about that in a while, but that's a great point. That anytime someone does, like, sends in a photo that would be wonderful to share with everybody else, you want to respond to that and share it. Anytime someone's a jerk or a pain in the ass, you don't want to give them a lot of.
Wasn't this one of the questions that we were going to talk about? But the idea, I mean, clearly you want to cultivate that positive stuff. If somebody has your book and they sent you a photo of themselves standing in front of the Eiffel Tower, that's great to put on your blog.
Right.
But how do you cultivate that behavior? How do you get
I think by sharing it.
I think it's a case of behavior modification, and that is you reinforce the behaviors that you want to see again. And you don't mm-hmm. reinforce the behaviors that you want to see disappear. And it's not a question of punishing. That's where I think a lot of people go off the deep end. It's not about punishing the behaviors you don't want to see. You just merely withhold any kind of reinforcement whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? And then when you do see something that you like, you reward that, because reward is a great way of making behaviors come back.
So that first go-round, you just have to get lucky that somebody decided to share that with you then.
It's just, yeah, it's just like the rat.
Well, yeah, and maybe some of that is a waiting game in the sense of, like, I started putting up Sheldon in the late 90s. It probably wasn't until 2004 or 6 that – or 5 or 6 or something that people started to send in photos. So maybe it's just – it's kind of – you know what it is? It's like when a locomotive – actually, oh, God, this is a great metaphor for getting a webcomic going anyway. It's like, you know how when they have to start a locomotive from a cold start, they start on that gear that is just amazingly huge gear because you have to get like 400 tons moving.
Right.
And so to get it going from a cold start, you have to start from a gear that's so ridiculously large it's almost – unfathomable. And then as you get up to 1 mile an hour, you can go to a lower gear. And then as you get to 5 miles an hour, you go to an even lower gear, or you know, whichever direction the gear goes.
I think we've
it's higher, yeah. But you get what I'm saying, though, is that to get things started from a webcomic and to get reader response going, you have to know that it's like moving a 400-ton locomotive. You have to start real slow, and then as you pick up speed, you can change gears and get it going, get it happening.
Low and slow, like starting a fire.
Well, I think we've all experienced that while we were being an engineer on our own personal locomotive. But the thing that I like to say is,
it's true though that I have often pretended this at Knott's Berry Farm.
Can I tell you though, I appreciate Brad. I want to tell you, I appreciate it when you take jabs at me, because I feel like on this podcast I take far too many jabs at you. And I'm so happy. I'm like a proud parent that pushes the mother bird out of the nest.
You're taking jab right now. That is another jab right now.
God,
that is another jab. I am very concerned about you, Brad. You are getting pushed around too much.
Well, maybe I need to be careful what I reinforce, I guess. Well, you know,
yeah.
you guys were in college. You guys were in Psych 101. Did you do the whole thing with the rat and the water dipper?
Oh no!
You never took a psych class, but what's the water dipper?
This is all, again, it goes back to behavior modification, and this is maybe another kind of metaphor, and that is you try to make the rat go over to this little dipper, and it's got a little drop of water on it, and they feed these rats salt all day long, so they're thirsty as hell, and the idea is to, when they hear the click of the dipper going up against the cage, they run over to that right side and take a drink. But when you first get the rat in the cage, the rat's walking all over. He's looking around. He doesn't know what's going on. You can click to your heart's content. So what you've got to do is click. You've got to play this kind of rat game of hotter, colder, warmer, cooler type of thing. You know what I'm saying? You ever do that? So when the rat starts to come a little bit close to dipper, you click it. And then give him the and then just give him the water wherever he's standing. And then when he gets a little bit closer, click it, and then give him the water where he's standing. So what you're doing is you're saying, come on over here. You're getting closer. You're getting warmer. I'm going to reward you even though you're not where I want you to be yet. But I'm going to reward you anyway for getting close. And anyone who's ever trained an animal or potty trained a small child can agree with me that that's
– Or shared a booth with Straub, really.
But yeah, I mean, that's what I find myself doing. Sometimes I reward things that are just close to the kind of behavior that I want to see on my site. You know what I mean? And then
right,
bring
just
it,
to start,
bring it in close.
Yeah, exactly.
Your comic sucks. Thanks for the feedback. I'll take it. I'll take it.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh God.
Thanks.
No,
for
but you're right, Brad.
Comic.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Thanks for what?
Thanks for mentioning my comic.
Thanks for taking the time. Oh. Well, now that we've meandered, shall we dive into our first question? Chris, do you have it in front of you? I think
I actually don't. Well, wait, hold on a second.
I've got one here, and this is the one about. This one I think Chris was kind of headed into. Let me just kind of see if I can. I think I got off for a second here.
We'll fill time.
Here we go. It says, Dear Half Pixel Crew, long story short, I love your stuff, yada yada, on to the question. I'm a new comic collaborator seeking to build my audience. I found that as a reader, I'm often drawn into a comic when a friend shares a strip they find on a social network or aggregator, Facebook, Dig, Reddit, etc. I've also noticed that each of you have different strategies for sharing your comics. Could you talk a bit about what's worked for you? And what would you recommend for the new guy on the block? That comes from Dave Omer from AnimalWardComic.com.
Now, don't. Well, I was going to say, don't read his URL. Make him work for it.
Wait, Brad, you're clicking too soon. He hasn't gone to the water yet. Don't click.
Well, here's the thing. Like, for Starslip, I've all but given up on that because I don't think it's such a long story strip that I really didn't think there were a lot of good places for people to jump in. But Chainsaw Suit, yeah, I get most of my traffic from StumbleUpon and Reddit. So I put those tools right on the site so people can link to it directly.
Yeah, I put my StumbleUpon and Reddit and I think there's like three or four others that I stole from Kellett a long time ago. I put them right underneath the comics so that – because I'll disagree with you on one thing, Chris. There's always – even like I do the same kind of strip that you do. You know, there are longer storylines and stuff like that. But at every juncture along the way, there's something going on there that is going to hit somebody – and they're going to end up stumbling it. And for me, Stumble's a huge referrer for Evil Incorporated. They'll find something, just a mention of something. And it might be midway through a storyline and leading up to something else, but it doesn't matter because for that little snapshot, it mentioned, you know, whatever, Wheaties. And there's a big Wheaties fan, and there's a Wheaties user group, and that they... You know,
who are those people?
And the subject line in the group was finally somebody mentioned Wheaties.
Somebody.
And then all the other subject lines are like, no date again this week. No, not for me either.
And then one that's why Wheaties. Why do we love it so?
Yeah, and then there's stickies that are like Wheaties versus All Brand. Discuss, you know.
Or... That's it. I'm leaving you guys for Frosted Mini Wheats.
Yeah, exactly. This forum's not what it used to be.
No, but
I don't even remember the good old days.
I get a lot from StumbleUpon. I'm a huge fan of StumbleUpon, and I put those, like I said, I put those right underneath the comic. I'm a big believer, and this is one thing I'm not crazy about: WordPress, Comic Press. I think it keeps a lot of your navigation, a lot of your site buttons too far away from the comic itself. I like to see all your navigation and stuff like that. Even if it gets a little bit crowded like it is on my site, right there around the comic, because you got to realize people are not scrolling down if they don't have to. And you've got to keep the most important things like your social networking tools, your navigation buttons, storyline drop-down, and links for purchasing original art and stuff like that right clustered as close to your comic as you can possibly get it.
Yeah. Now, that is true.
On a non-related tip, can I tell you one of the design things it was kind of by accident, kind of on purpose, but the Buy Today's Original Art on the Sheldon site is right underneath the navigation buttons for the strip, you know, on Sheldon. And I am convinced that that's what encourages as many original art sales as it does on Sheldon, because I'm sure there are accidental clicks where people go, oh, I didn't even know he had original art. All right. And for most people – for most people, they're not going to act on that at all. They're like, oh, God, I don't want original art. But the very fact of discovery, there's a percentage of those people that will, you know, file that away in their brain. And then when they see one that they really want, they know it exists. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that accidental discovery, it at least presents the possibility that it can be purchased to people that wouldn't otherwise have known. So I'm as far as where to place stuff, that's a little tip of mine. But so as far as for me with social networking, I will echo Brad that StumbleUpon is a huge one for me. But and like Brad, I have – what do I have? I have StumbleUpon, Dig, and – what is this guy? Dig, that's Delicious. Dig and Delicious do very little for me.
I thought that was an adjective. I'm sorry.
No. But like if you look at – but I think that's more a subjective cultural call for the site, because I think Dig loves XKCD. Like they're always digging XKCD. So that's a very cultural thing over there. And Sheldon just might not be the kind of strip that people that use Dig a lot are into. But StumbleUpon, for whatever reason, I get a lot of traffic from. And the interesting thing about StumbleUpon, I don't know if you guys have ever installed it on your browser, but you actually don't really even need the StumbleUpon button on your strip because there's a whole StumbleUpon bar or StumbleUpon, I don't know what you would call
it. Yeah, but a toolbar. But I usually avoid that kind of stuff just because I don't trust installing things like that.
Well, yeah, but you're pretty savvy. I think most people actually use the StumbleUpon bar, don't you think, that are StumbleUpon users?
Well, it's possible. I mean, it's kind of like the idea that, you know, like Alexa's rankings are only as good as measuring anybody who's dumb enough to install the Alexa toolbar. but that's a lot of people, right? You know, and so maybe you can't discount that.
No, but I think you're missing the core function of StumbleUpon, which is that you stumble upon other things. I don't think – you've never used it to like go stumbling around the internet, have you? You just installed it, tried it for a second, and then took it off, right?
Right. I hate it.
Yeah, I did the same thing. But there are people – the whole purpose of StumbleUpon is not to tell other people, but it's to find out for the most part what other people have found.
Mm.
So you literally stumble around the internet. And that the bar is how you do it. So if you don't have it installed, I don't know how you stumble around the internet, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
you can go
like
to
I don't use it. I had it installed for all of 5 minutes and said boof and took it off. But
it's not for people who don't have time to stumble around is the thing.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can go to their website and do it.
I guess what I'm saying is the core audience of StumbleUpon users probably have that bar on there.
Most likely. I guess you're right.
And to be honest, I don't know why I'm arguing this with you. It doesn't really gain you.
God damn it.
I am so angry about this. I need to win this argument.
Well, now, here's something that I've been wanting to bring up, and that is Facebook. Do you guys distribute your comic through Facebook?
No.
I have something. You know what? Okay, so here's the deal with Facebook. If you can make it work. Like Jorge with Piled Higher and Deeper PhD Comics,
mm-hmm.
He has an obscene amount of readers, and it's very apropos to his audience because it's all universities.
Yeah.
He has just a huge number of people that get PhD by Facebook, and he's written up this whole special app that's brilliantly done that also links to his store and where you can get the books. And in fact, I'm going to log in real quick and go to see how many he has on it because it's just an ungodly number of people. But I have this like – cheap version for Sheldon
for Facebook,
but I'm not. Yeah, for Facebook, but I'm not super happy with it.
Hmm.
And I want to code something at some point, but you know me with coding, Chris. I'm like a blind idiot and I'm in a desert land. You know.
I don't know how Facebook apps work either. Seems so tough.
Not only that, but it used to be.
We need
really
to get
easy
somebody on here to talk about it.
It used to be really easy to pull it in from your RSS feed, and then they changed they had that Facebook change a month or so back where they changed the whole look of Facebook, and now you can't pull things in off your feed. You can post a link to it, but I used to be able to put my comic right up on my profile page, and now it's not there anymore.
Oh.
But I don't know whether to be upset about that or not. It's kind of low down on my list of priorities to get that back up and running, because I do get some pretty good traffic on my Facebook page, but I don't know whether that's an audience that I can mine for things like book sales. I mean, it's a bunch of people I knew in college and people that I
those might be the people like, oh, that is cute. He is making a little book. I'll just see what that's about.
Hey, look, Brad does more than drink now. This is great.
Nobody
that would
ever
be, that would be my college room. That would be my college classmates. That's what that would be.
You've changed,
well, you know
man.
What? This is how little I use Facebook. I've logged in and I can't find the darn groups. I don't.
I know they changed that too. The groups are impossible to find now. Good luck. You won't find them.
I'm such an old man about this. I'm like, God, where am I? Did I just approve a friend? What am I doing?
Where's my email? Where's the email?
Hold on. I've got to get my wife in here. Get me to PhD. I don't know what I'm doing. Where is the thing? I don't know what I'm doing. This is really sad. I don't know what I'm doing on Facebook.
A lot of people complain, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, the redesign has been really ham-handed.
The thing that killed me about – I mean, this is completely off topic, but the thing that killed me about the Facebook redesign was that I read that the founder of Facebook is – he's obsessed with Twitter. He loves Twitter. So you can have that Facebook you know, status update that goes to everybody's front page that's exactly like Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, why did you – Twitter already exists. You could pull in Twitter. I don't want to update it both places. There's no reason to make a duplicate service.
Right.
You know?
And what's funny about that is for the people that link the two together – if you update too little on Twitter, it seems like – or sorry, if you update normally on Twitter, it seems like you're updating Facebook way too frequently when you have them linked, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's right, just like, right. Shut up already. Stop posting things on your damn Facebook. I can't find it. So this is me verbally throwing in a towel. I can't find my PhD.
Don't feel bad. The only way I can get to the Evil Inc. fan club on Facebook – is to go to the link from my Evil Inc. site and click on that, and then that'll take me there. Other than that, if I'm on Facebook, I have no idea where it is.
Mm. So, you know this is lame. So you click on the Facebook logo. It takes you to what is essentially your homepage.
Yeah.
So right next to that, they have a button that says home. You click on that. It takes you to the exact
same place.
GD page.
Now go
yeah,
to the,
and then you click on profile.
Go on the right-hand side, and there's another button that'll take you to that exact same page again.
Boy, this is all kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm such an old man.
So, all right, next up, Facebook.
Next up,
that is what.
Next up, Half Pixel critiques MySpace. What's with all the graphics? Everything's flashing.
Holy
Why is there
cat,
music
right?
playing? It's very noisy in here.
And who's this Dane Cook?
I don't want to be his friend. Everybody knows him, though.
Good guy. Can we jump back to the core question about what works for us? Because I want to jump to two things that do work for me.
What works?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
As I become the oldest man alive. Facebook, I don't know.
Telex.
Telex. I want to use that French internet that existed before the internet. What's that thing called?
The ARPANET, the military one. From the late 60s.
The one that the French had as late as like the 90s before they gave up. And they're like, all right, fine.
What, the one at CERN?
No. The French had a centralized – oh, never mind. It's not worth arguing about.
My God, you guys.
You know what? It's Tuesday, Sheldon. I'm sure of it now. I'm sure of it.
Oh, man. All right. I deserve that one. All right. So I'm going to talk about for a minute what works for Sheldon. So – I stole this, and I'm saying the word stole because it's true. I stole this from Unshelved, from Bill and Fake Name over at Unshelved. And what I did is very prominently on the left-hand side of Sheldon, in a little yellow post-it note, there is a Get Sheldon Free by Email. And that has been a great way to hook people. And I'll tell you why it's great. Because unlike getting someone by their website, once you're in their email, once they're subscribed, there's a far smaller chance of them giving up than if they had to physically check a tab mm-hmm. or physically check a bookmark or anything like that. When you've got somebody by email, my retention rate is, I swear to God, like 90% on the people that have signed up.
Hmm.
Well, see, that's funny you should mention that, because I was going to come at it from the exact opposite angle. I've got the same type of thing. I've got an email subscription service, which I like because it also carries over the blog. So I can put in my announcements about books and stuff like that right in there. So I really like that. I want to push that. The only problem is that I don't get a whole lot of takers. And I do get people that are having trouble navigating the unsubscribe. And when I do hear people get emails from people wanting to unsubscribe, the reason they give is that they found the RSS feed. And once
yep,
you've
got
that's
the what
RSS
I was
feed,
into. Yeah, and so the
you don't need the email subscription anymore.
Right. And I found that to be – that was going to be my second point, is that RSS is just the godsend of gaining new readers.
Yeah.
And we've argued about this in the past, but I have absolutely no qualms about putting my strip right in the feed.
Yeah.
On one condition. On one condition. You've got to be able to post your blog posts there too.
Yes. And you've got to have some link that can lead them back to what you're monetizing, which is the store, the shirts, a donation button, whatever you're going to have on there.
Right.
If it's just the strip by itself, it's a moot point. You've got to have it together on the feed.
I think if it's just your strip, you're cutting your own throat. I think you've got to have a way of telling your readers when you got a book out. You got to have a way of doing community building and all that stuff. And that, for me, means having the blog post there, too. And every now and again, I do get the odd reader that says, hey, I come to your RSS feed for the comic. I don't want the blog post there. And it's like, you that's...
I don't really understand that idea, though.
Well, you know what? I don't
like,
care.
I don't want to read what you say. It is what you say.
I need that post there too badly for to be too worried that one or two extraneous readers don't want to see it. You know, you've got to have it. It's got to be there. You know, I need to be able to talk to the readers.
Yeah.
Right. It's sort of the quid pro quo. Look, if you're going to get it for free, this is the one thing I ask of you. Is that this comes along with it?
That's a nicer way to put it than the way I put it to her.
Well, whenever someone asks they go, you know, hey, do you have a feed of just the strip? And I just go, no. And they say, I'd really love a feed that just had the strip. And I figure, why argue with them? I just say, yep, me too. That'd be great. Sorry about that. And then just leave it the way it is.
And then you just smile blankly at them and piss yourself.
And you know what I'd like? I'd like a gold-plated toilet seat. That's what I'd like. Why don't you move along?
I want an Arabian pony. That's all I want. All right, I'll talk to you later. See you.
Right, great talking to you. Why did we do this?
Just so you know, because I did math. I did the math right as we were talking because it's a little bit too good to be true. My retention rate on email signups is just under 71%. So still pretty impressive, though.
That is good. I'm impressed you know your retention rate.
Well, all you have to do is, Brad, you and I are on the same system. Just go in and look at the total users that have signed into your system.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, actually, you know what? My retention rate would be higher because some of those are people that don't get the email but just want to sign up for the forum. So I'd have to run some other algorithm to get the actual number. But it's north of 70%.
I see what you're calling retention rate. Anybody that registers with your site, you divide that by the number of people who also took the email.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, that are still taking emails. What I'm getting at.
Right. But so they might have just registered on your site solely to comment in the forums.
Right. So that's why I'm saying my retention rate is actually higher than 70%.
Got to be higher. Got to be because I know the 73.
Number. Bless America. Brad, I'm trying to share with the people what's worked for me, and all you're going to do is just you can't. You can't serve me shit and call it a sandwich, Brad. I'm not gonna believe you.
Or you can, though.
You can, but it's not gonna taste very good.
It'll work for a while.
But you better not be looking in the mirror while you're saying it. I know.
That's
that.
What I was saying. Call back.
I'll take that first bite, but you know what? By the third bite, I'm really gonna be distrusting you. That's all I'm saying.
I don't like you anymore. I will finish the sandwich.
But I tell you what, the fourth or fifth sandwich you give me, I might think about not taking it.
So now, Chris, what social networking things are working for you?
Well, what I've noticed primarily has been, you know what? I can go ahead and take a look at my analytics right now. I can tell you off the top of my head that for Chainsaw Suit, it's all about Reddit and StumbleUpon and a lot of sites like that. Mm-hmm. Reddit is interesting because I don't think I don't have a widget on my site that manages that.
Oh, really?
No, you know what? I don't have Reddit either. And all of a sudden, I will echo your statement that I'm all of a sudden getting more, not a lot, but getting more Reddit links. Is Reddit as a network growing? Let's look. Let's go.
I don't know. Yeah, let's see here. Starslip. Tell you what my traffic sources are. One of the reasons why I don't like to answer this question, the idea of how do you build an audience, is because it took me long enough to build it as is, and I really have not done a whole lot of advertising, and so I'm left with the idea that what I am producing is sticky enough for people to come back to it, and that's not good advice to be given. You know what I mean? Just make good work, and then they'll. Well, I mean, they have to, but
it's not helpful. Yeah,
it's not helpful advice. Take a look at this. All right, so top traffic sources for Starslip, not Chainsaw Suit, so the much less new media sticky comic that I do. Top sources: direct link, of course, then Google search, then PvP Online. I must have a button on there somewhere. SamandFuzzy.com, Sam Logan up there. And Chainsaw Suit is the next referrer down. Schlock Mercenary, Penny Arcade, TVTropes.org, believe it or not.
I get TV Tropes. They're like
they dissect
throughout.
The how everybody's strip is written.
Well, yeah. It's TV Tropes is a huge referrer for me.
Yeah. I got it's huge Twitter is another huge one.
Yeah.
So it's basically a lot of circles that I spend time in personally.
Hey, have you guys tried that new Bit.ly thing on Twitter?
I have not.
It's just www.bit.ly, and it's like tiny URL. It's something you can use to squeeze down a long URL so you can Twitter it. But here's the dip. On Bit.ly, you can see how many people followed that link.
Yeah, they said that they added that in there. Is that useful?
Oh, I don't know how useful it is, but it's fascinating to see when you post something and then click back like 10 seconds later and see that maybe a couple hundred people have clicked on it already.
It's cool.
If nothing else, it doesn't tell you who did it or anything like that, but it really shows you the power of your tweets. And for me, it's kind of been a good indication of maybe spacing out promotional tweets a little bit. And doing them during times when you think there might be heavier traffic, like Friday. Huh. Friday night isn't a really good time to be putting out promoting something that you wrote in your blog, but Thursday maybe around 3 o'clock Eastern time is pretty good.
Oh yeah, I mean Friday night everybody went home.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that bad? I find that any time that anybody is forced to be in front of a computer is when traffic is highest. So when people are at work.
Yeah.
Nobody's going there on the weekend for fun.
I know, it's funny. So hey, just for shits for giggles, I looked up Reddit's ranking, and for what it's worth, it looks like they had a huge explosion in January of 2009. Hmm. So that makes me think either somebody bought them out or somebody's backing them in a way that they weren't previously, because the spike is dramatic. It's like a 400% spike.
Wow.
within the course of 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's got to be a story there.
Yeah, something happened. I Google Newsed it and I couldn't find anything. But anyway, so Reddit growing for us, that's good. The one thing that's what's interesting about those kind of stats, though, Brad, that you were talking about in terms of linkbacks, do you find that helps you as a business person, or is it more of a qualitative, like, oh, that's neat to see it works, that sort of
thing?
Well,
like I was saying, I think it's more of the second and a little bit of the first. I think it's more kind of, hey, that's really cool to see that there's a couple hundred people that clicked on that right away. But it was also good. I did a little experiment. I wanted to see. I had two blog posts I wanted to promote, and actually I haven't been promoting anything from my blog on Twitter. And I thought, hey, that's a good idea. Just kind of I wrote about this today. Check it out. And I did two of them within 15 minutes of each other, and the first one got really high click rates. And I waited 15 minutes and posted the other one, and it got about half of what the first one had gotten, which was good for me just to kind of tell me what I think I could have figured out on my own, but it gave me a quantitative analysis that if you start going heavily into promotion zone, people are going to tune you out. You've got to use promotion in Twitter somewhat sparingly, or else people kind of feel used, I think. It's like, okay, don't just use this to tell me about your blog. I also want to know,
I've had somebody message me that, I mean, it was a little bit early on, but like, oh, I'm not following your Twitter to get ads.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you sprinkle them in kind of frugally, you're okay. But, they tune you out real quick.
Yeah. Can I tell you, I'm so glad to hear you say this, because I actually and I know when this happened, my ratio of entertainment to promotional stuff really dropped in a bad way about a year ago, right? And it's not an accident, right about the time that my daughter was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I had less time to sort of blog about fun and, hey, here's something interesting kind of stuff. And I realize now that or I'm realizing that it's been a hit on the overall impact that my blog can have on my business, because I'm not sprinkling enough entertainment in my blog to counterbalance the promotional stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I've become a little bit too salesman-y with my blog, and I'm not enjoying it as much, in fact. So it would make sense that the readership is not. Because I need to be able to link to stuff like, hey, biggest donut in the world being attacked by a moose. This is a great thing you got to see. You know, and that's
well, that link that you did on Cake Fail, I sat there while I was inking on Friday and spent about 20 minutes on that laughing my buns off.
That's a very funny site. Some reader sent that to me, and I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. So one of my sort of resolutions now that I'm sort of done with the San Diego Comic-Con prep work, or mostly done, is that I've got to get back into being an entertainer again. I sort of stepped away from that more than I should have. I didn't follow my own advice, which is that you've got to be an entertainer first.
You really have not been any fun lately, Dave. Very dour.
Well, it's all too true, though. I mean, how often have we collectively talked in the last 3 or 4 weeks? We've all been busy getting ready for San Diego Comic-Con.
No, that's true. That's true.
It's still 50 days out or whatever.
Do we each have new books coming out specifically for the convention? I know I do. I think Dave does. You've got the Saturated Fats book. And I know that you do for a fact, too. So all three of us have books that we're trying to get out for this thing.
You know what? I was thinking about this as we were going into the podcast, Brad. Between the four of us going into San Diego Comic-Con, there will be 7 new books that haven't been at San Diego Comic-Con before.
I know. Yeah. I'm good for 2 of them.
No. I'm sorry. 8. 8. There'll be 8 new books that haven't been at San Diego Comic-Con.
What are?
So
well,
bring your wallets.
They're the Fables book, the Evil Inc. Volume 4. There's the your newest book, the newest Sheldon book.
Plus the one that I did last Christmas, which was not at last year's San Diego Comic-Con.
That's right. So that's 4. Where are the other 4 coming from?
I'm going to have Chainsaw Suit 2 and Star Slip Volume 3, so that's 2 for me.
And Scotty's going to have PvP Volume 6 and then the Awesomeology, which is like 9,000 pages long.
Wow.
So there's going to be 8 new books between the 4 of us in San Diego this year.
Wow. Holy shnikes. That's going
to
be nice.
But as I was talking to Scott, in fact, just to show you how little I've been talking to you guys, it was like the first time I've talked to Scott in like 3 weeks. And I was like, you know what, though? I have no other new products for San Diego. And it suddenly got me very nervous. I don't have any new T-shirts necessarily. I don't have any new, you know, tchotchkes, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you guys doing? this is like an adult asking a kid what they want to be for ideas. What are you guys bringing for San Diego that's new and fun and hip and wow?
I don't know that I'm going to have any shirts. I'll think about it. But I'm going to have buttons. I'm going to do new buttons for the show.
Okay.
But I'm not sure yet. Other than that.
I very rarely do book or shirts, and I've got buttons. I don't know. I'd love to be able to get shirts lined up, but I think I'm already too late for that. I'm going to be happy to have my 2 books out there, tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And 6 books between the 3 of us at the Half Pixel booth would not be bad, necessarily, as traffic drivers.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
Listen to me very publicly airing out like it'll be okay. We'll be fine. We're gonna be okay. I think.
But in the back of your head, no, it's not. No, it's not.
Just staring at bills. We're gonna be fine. We're gonna, all gonna be okay. We're gonna be all. Right. We're gonna get through this. You know what? You know what? Recession. We're gonna get through this. Okay.
Hey, you know what? It is the end of May now. I shouldn't say that because God knows when this thing's going to get posted. But hey,
after San Diego.
It's after San Diego. I was going to say it's after San Diego Comic-Con.
Technically, it's June 1st. But here's the deal. We're well into 2009. How are you guys doing with what supposedly is the worst recession since the Great Depression? How's business? Is it about where you thought it was going to be? Are you doing better than you thought you were going to be? Or is it worse?
You want to go first, Chris, or you want me to go first?
Mine is probably underwhelming, so I'll go ahead and go first. But I'm actually doing a little bit better than I thought I would be. I think it's fallen off a little bit, but not to the point where it's certainly not, this devastating recession is ruining my business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's slowed down a little bit. And what I'm noticing is, and this might just be because it's the newest product that I have, is that Chainsaw Suit books are selling more. And it's been like a year since I've done a Star Slip book. So we'll see what that is like when I open the pre-order up. soon. But it's been slow, but I don't know that I would blame it on a recession. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't pushed the store as much because I'm worried about getting behind on shipping. So I don't know. I really have not noticed a big drop because of that.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the – I think I'm actually in the exact same boat in the sense that I think any slowdown that has been experienced is my fault and not the recession's fault in terms of – because this has been my first year of fatherhood, mm-hmm. I know that I've had less shirts and less new stuff, which is – and I can't speak for you guys, but for me, is always a driver towards other item sales. You know, like if there's a new shirt, I'll sell 10% more books that month. Or if there's right. a new book, I'll sell, you know, 10% more shirts that month as well. And I haven't had new stuff. But that being said, I'm exactly status quo where I've been the last maybe five or six. Or no, I don't even want to say that. I'm exactly status quo to the preceding quarter, which to me is a good sign. You know, I'm not dropping, but I'm not growing. I'm kind of flat with less effort than I had previous to the recession really kicking in. So, mm-hmm. I guess that's my way of saying that as a parent, now that I'm coming out of this first year, I've got to up my game again. But that overall, I'm feeling optimistic about this recession.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, I'm doing better than I thought I was going to do. I've offered a color book for the first time, and pre-orders are stronger than it's been for any other book that I've offered. And it's a more expensive product, and it's more expensive to print, and people have been supporting it like crazy, not only buying the volume 4, but buying packages of all the other books. And original art is selling off the site, which hasn't been quite such a prominent thing in months past. So so far, knock on wood, I hate to bring the topic up to you for fear of jinxing it. But so far it's been okay for us.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? I'm glad you mentioned original art because that was the one that I thought, oh well, this will go. You know, during a recession, people will still buy the. You know, Brad, you always say the lipstick economy. People will keep buying the $10, $20 purchases, but my $150 Sundays won't sell anymore.
Right.
And I've been really surprised to see that my original art is actually selling better than it was, and I've been trying to figure out why that's the case, and. To hear that your originals are selling better, why do you think your – maybe this will give me an answer as to why it's doing better.
Man, I have no idea. I wish I had an idea because I would try to do something to strengthen it even more. You know, or, you know, whatever I'm doing, I would want to do it more often. And I have changed nothing about the way I present original art. But it has been stronger than it's been even over last year. So
could it be something as simple as in a recession when everything in your life is bumming you out, you'll treat yourself to the one thing that's really bringing you joy or one of the few things that's bringing you joy and you'll treat big? I mean,
makes a lot of sense. I mean, even in my own logic, you know, mm-hmm. I'm playing more video games lately just because it's something small and simple that I'm like, I'm in a bad mood. I'm going to go do this, you know?
it's escapist in a pleasurable way, yeah.
Yeah. So I can definitely see that.
No, I guess that's similar because a video game will run you some bucks too. So
I've had the same thing, but I make sure that I buy used video games because
that's what I've been doing.
Tightwad.
You can get three for the price of a new one.
Right, right.
In fact, I seem to recall something about the number of used games being bought. I mean, obviously, is suddenly a lot higher.
Yeah,
there's a lot more interest in that.
I love this. I love this discussion because I'm imagining both of you just hanging out at the dumpster behind the games boutique, going, "Oh, come on, somebody throw something out! Somebody throw something out!
You don't want that. You don't play that.
Yeah, but you don't play that anymore." That's Give back Marvel Legends. You're not playing that.
That scratch doesn't look that deep. I've got a $35 scratch fixer I bought.
Yeah, it'll work.
Well, yeah, but there's definitely something to be said for entertainment that with one purchase keeps being usable. And that's terrible English on my part. But,
yeah.
You know, a video game you can play and play and play. A comic book you can play and play and play. And for the people that have the cash and original art, that ain't going anywhere from your wall. It's not like you're like it's up for a week and then you lose it.
Well, I kind of wonder whether something like that might be more – dare I hate to even put it this way, but do you think maybe it's an interior design decision. In other words, people are scaling way back. I'd love to be able to redo our wood floors, but I can't right now. You know what I mean? We just don't have the scratch to put it together with. But I can do...
So, Brad, would you say you don't have the scratch to fix the scratches?
I don't have the scratch to fix... Exactly. But you know,
Dave, Brad would have done it better.
I would have laughed louder at my own joke. I know that.
And Brad would have effectively thrown in a Colonel Spaulding. Oh.
But you know, I find myself doing smaller things to kind of make to make my surroundings a nicer place. And I wonder whether that's kind of what's coming into play too. Is that people may not be able to buy the big sofa-sized painting, but they can buy things like this that they can put up, makes them feel happy, makes the place, you know, that much more special, and it only cost them $100.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Oh, actually, Brad, you just reminded me of something that I've been doing, and that is, and this is going to sound self-serving, but it's not, but it's also cementing the idea that your strip is for free. And what I mean is I've been getting a lot of emails lately saying, hey, I just found Sheldon, you know, 3 months ago or 6 months ago or wherever, and I've loved it. I've read through the archives. And I'm so sorry that I don't have the money to support the strip. I can't buy a book. You know, the family's going through a hard time right now, and mom lost, you know. So there's always, as you guys can relate, there's a lot of sad stories going around right now. And I always email back and be like, hey, my God, take care of your kids first. Don't worry about supporting the strip. You know, keep reading Sheldon for free. That's why it's there. And the nice thing about that is, A, it makes me – this sounds silly, but it makes me feel good that I'm able to say that. Like, my God, take care of your student loans, or take care of your you know, your job hunt, or take care of your family first. But also what's nice about that is, from a relationship standpoint, I think that somewhere in the back of their brain – 2 years from now, 3 years from now, when life is treating them a little better, they'll remember that Evil Inc. or Sheldon or Starslip was there for free for them during the bad times of the recession. You know?
I think that's an incredibly smart way to look at it. And it also – you got to realize that as crappy as the economy is right now, it will come back. I mean, right now – I was telling my wife this. Right now there are very, very smart people buying real estate. You know, there are people that were able to put the money together. Right now, there are very, very smart people making investments all over the place, and they know, just like the rest of us know. It's bad right now. Chances are it might even get a little bit worse, but at some point, the economy does come back, and when it does, you know, all that stuff that you did in the tough times is gonna come back and reward you. You know, stuff like not being a jerk and saying, hey, well, thanks for freeloading off my strip, you carpetbagger. And instead, all the good things you're doing, they will come back and reward you.
Right.
That was
right.
A Beatles song, I think, actually.
You should have said it like John Lennon there, Chris. I can't even do John Lennon. Hold on. I've got to work on my Liverpudlian, or what do they call it? Liverpudlian?
Liverpudlian, yeah.
I got to work on my Liverpudlian. Oh, that was a Beatles song. I can't do it.
that was very bad. Close.
Did you ever see Dewey Cox?
Yes.
That movie? They go there, and they're not even trying to do the Beatles. They just keep saying, what do you think, George Harrison, of the Beatles? Nobody can do it.
But
anyways.
Anyway.
But no, I agree 100%.
Chris nice Straub, helpful guy.
I'll bring us back. Don't worry.
Well, I can't see what the – how long have we been going here, boys?
We're on hour 4 of the podcast, and we've raised $600 for the foster home for cats. So we're doing a really good job this week.
Better than last week when we were doing that hotel for dogs.
Oh no.
What was the pitch for that movie, Hotel for Dogs?
The title was the pitch. They are done.
You know, I never knew what it was about. They're running previews for it for on demand, and I catch it every now and again, and it just looks horrible.
People like looking at dogs. Dogs acting like people.
But you know what's funny about that to me is that, like, you know, usually there's a combination of, like, look, kids love pets. That's a no-brainer, right? But they also love space, so we're going to put the dogs in space. It'll be great. But, like, what's the go-to of, like, kids love animals, right? That's the go-to. But they also love hotels. It reminds them of the pools they get to swim in.
Right.
I mean, what is the go-to
you know
in that
now, that now that you mentioned that, I think literally they must have gone to the boardroom and said, like, look at these other pet movies, okay? Here are the numbers. These things perform. We are going to make another one of these movies. Done. What do you think?
But then they had a random noun generator that was like, you know, 10,000 nouns. So it could have been like, you know, dog, you know, garage, dog, a pool shed. And they just they spun the wheel and it came up on hotel. Dog building, hotel. That's what you
got. A building you wouldn't ordinarily find a dog in, but there's a dog in it this time.
That's the pitch.
What do you think?
Here's what we've done. We've taken a lot of edifices that you would not normally find an animal in, and we have placed an animal in one of them.
I like that Phil Silvers is giving the pitch.
I like that you know who Phil Silvers is.
Here's what we have done.
Exactly.
Well, no, but to Brad, was there another question we were going to do? So we're about, what, 50, 45 days out from San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah. We're not far out.
Is it too early to mention that we'll have a lovely corner booth half pixel will this year, and that we have a talk on Saturday? Is it too early to mention that?
Did we just
too
hear
early
that?
To mention it at all?
What is the topic?
Well, it's I pitched them. I forget. I pitched them like two or three. The one they want us to do is Webcomics Boot Camp. But as always, what we'll do is we'll go up and we'll do what we always do.
We'll do this.
You know, it'll be the four of us doing a live version of the podcast, you know, and which will fit neatly under the Webcomics boot camp idea. But it'll be the four of us doing our podcast live and in person.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've just opened the kimono to reveal how we work on pitching these things.
I'd rather you shut it. We're going to do what we want to do.
So we're like, here's our four ideas. We got idea number one, how to start a webcomic. Idea number two, how to maintain a webcomic 3 years, five, really? Through 10. And then, you know, idea three is like, how to print a book. And then no matter what the pitch they take, we just get up there, we do a live webcomics weekly. We're like, yeah. Here's what you get.
We just made fun of Hotels for Dogs doing this thing. They filmed that movie. They filmed it, and then they just had to stick a title on it. What do you think about Hotels for Dogs? I don't know. Okay, how about Dog Boutique? All right. You like that better? All right, we'll go with it.
I like how your reminder for that argument is like, people made money making that movie. They filmed that. That's what they did. They made money doing that.
They made it. Somebody said, made. Let's do this.
Yeah,
that's
somebody
funny.
Invested
that
in
is
it.
What
So you know what? On the
that's
last,
our, that's
the,
our Hollywood. That's our Hollywood pitch with conventions, isn't it? We just go in and we go webcomic dog hotel, and then we just get up there. And we do webcomics weekly.
Yeah.
You know what else? On the last day of shooting, somebody clinked champagne glasses. Somebody got misty.
Someone on that crew was like, "I've never worked on a better gig." Thank
right.
you guys.
You guys, we worked union and we did it right. You guys are the best.
There is what the grip turned to the lighting guy, and he's like, "You know what? We brought a lot of joy in the world with this movie, Dog Hotel."
Right, we made a lot. He doesn't even speak English.
We're making
a lot of children be happy with Dog Hotel.
Now go ahead
and
go ahead in the trailer. I think it's your turn to get misty.
I was just gonna say the grip is just like lo siento, no entiendo inglés. Perdóname, señor.
All right, well, you did a good job anyway.
Well, I'm sorry, Enrique. You did a great job anyway. Muchas gracias. I no entiendo. Anyway,
go get misty. Jesus Christ, Brad.
Wait, I missed it. Well, was that the tagline?
No, he's telling one of the union guys. It's your turn to get misty out of the trailer.
The union boss comes in with the clipboard. All right, Jimmy, your turn to get misty on the shoot. All right. God damn it, I hate these union rules. All right. Hey, I loved all of you. This was a great show.
Ah, Jesus, Brad,
no,
he didn't
misty,
even get it.
Dave, for Christ's sake, Misty is also a girl's name.
Dave, that's the name of the dog.
Oh, God bless America. You know what? I was just my mother there. I went entirely wrong on the joke. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Just do better. Do better.
Do better. Did I ever tell you how my mom messes up punchlines? That's a long story. We'll save that for another podcast. It's basically a non-Michigan version of Brad's mom on the podcast is what that's going to be. Oh, gosh, David, you know what? I've got a joke I've got to tell you. Oh, fiddly-dee. Oh, my goodness, this is such a good one. First of all, have some crab cakes. I made them for you special. Why would there be crab cakes in Michigan? Are there crabs in the place?
Yeah, my...
I don't know.
It would be crab with a
Brad.
K.
Brad, you know what? You're from the Great Lakes. What's that non-native fish that's taking over the Great Lakes, the Chinese fish?
It is a snakehead fish.
Oh, that's snakehead. Right. The one with
That came up in conversation today, and I couldn't remember the name of the fish. All right, the snakehead. I gotta go back to that conversation.
And they are replicating like crazy. Yeah, it is a problem. But yeah, you know.
Are they also replicating, or are they just replicating?
Oh yeah, no. Listen to you. You know what? I'll work on my replicating pronunciation next time I'm clearing out my font cache.
Hey, I'm sorry. I thought that's how it was pronounced. Cache. If they wanted it pronounced cash, they should write cash.
David, it's quiche. It's quiche.
It's quiche, all right. You say potato, I say cache. So, good. We've answered absolutely no questions.
No one was helped.
We've learned that we have some sort of fake talk for San Diego.
Yeah, I just see the listener just absolutely frustrated.
Just this poor same kid just emailing every week with a question going, come on, just answer my question.
I just need to know
about characterization. Why do you keep talking about writing versus art? Every week it's this thing with Calvin and Hobbes. God. We get it, Kellett. You think writing is more important.
It's like the same stories. You remember the time I met Berkeley Breathitt? He was a beautiful man.
In all honesty, we're at Baltimore Comic Con, and we're walking down the street, and the Apple Dumpling Gang comes by. And
it's been too long since we talked about Baltimore.
You know what? We have to go to Baltimore Comic Con just so we have a new set of stories, because, my God, we've become like the old grandparents in the room with that thing. Did I tell you about the time we went to Baltimore Comic Con? Sit down. Have some hard candy. Hold on. I got a story.
I moved those crab cakes out of the way. So here we were. We're coming down the street, and there's a motorcycle gang coming down. They've got people dragging people in chains behind them on the street.
In all seriousness, though, are we going to Baltimore this year? I forgot to ask you guys.
I don't know. I'm debating. Like, I keep wanting to do SPX, but I don't know. Is it? I mean, which audience is mine? You know what I mean?
Well, I did well at both. One. I think you did well at both, didn't you?
I think I did. But I'm wondering if I did a little bit better at SPX. I don't know.
You know, if you guys are
all there.
From a convention standpoint, SPX was one of the most relaxing in the sense of once you get to the hotel, you're done.
You guys, stop talking. Mm.
Okay.
Scott is emceeing the Harveys. We're going to Baltimore.
I don't want to miss that
for the world. I guarantee it. It's the
That's
place
right.
to be.
We've got to be there with the tomatoes. That's right. Okay.
You can't keep me out of Baltimore that weekend.
You know what? That's right. I got to see Scotty do that. That'll
be
fun.
It's going to be great.
No, you're right. That is definitely.
He's going to do a great job emceeing that thing, too. That'll be fun to watch.
For the record, SPX, I've never done particularly good at. I am so very much not my crowd. They see my people with the spandex and the capes, and they completely turn their nose up and walk the other way. I'd love to be loved, but I get hated, so I got to hate back.
No, good job, Brad. Racism, I guess, is alive and well. Good job.
Racism? It's got nothing to do with racism.
How dare you, Brad?
You know what, Brad? Maybe a little love into your heart. How about that? How about you take a little bit of that hate out?
I'd love
Oh, we lost. Oh, no, he's still there. Good.
I'd love for someone to buy a book at SPX, but it hasn't happened.
But
Baltimore was a better crowd for me than SPX was.
No, I think we can all agree. SPX and probably Ape and Mocha are probably not an Evil Inc. crowd. Would you say?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And it doesn't mean that they're bad people. They just that they hate me.
I tell you what, I bet you anything that Chainsaw Suit would do great at an SPX or a
That's what I'm thinking.
Because but SPX, 50% of SPX is weird.
People who can't draw.
Yeah. I was going to say it's really, really weird.
So if I pretend that I can't, then I think we're good.
Photocopy and staple that thing. You're going to make a mint.
They look at it.
Put away your real books.
I was going to say this is like, oh, Perfect Bound. What is this? I don't want to see this.
I don't. This looks too well done. Hold the phone, Kinko's. Heyo. Here's $9.
We have completely alienated all of SPX.
I know.
I am sorry, SPX. I love you.
I think I'm lucky in the sense that for whatever reason, Sheldon straddles both of those audiences.
That is true.
I'm sort of an outlier on both of them, quite honestly. I don't really fit in the SPX crowd, and I don't really fit, quite honestly, in most of the Capes and Babes stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Capes and Babes are also a very good strip.
That's true.
Oh, haha, I didn't even put that together, but yes, that is a very good strip.
I can take it.
Quite honestly, I think the only saving grace for me in the fact that I don't fit for either one is that it for most audiences, it's a little bit harkening back to childhood, a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's an old man strip. I'll give you that. It is definitely.
It's definitely for geriatrics.
It is the puff paint cat sweater strip. I will definitely. God. I will. Come
well,
on.
Listen,
now.
That hurt.
No, I appreciate that. A single tear rolling down my cheek. I think I prefaced you long ago by saying that Sheldon is for people in comfortable sweaters.
they do love their comfort.
In soft-soled shoes and comfortable sweaters. That's the Sheldon audience.
My readers, they like comfort as far as not bathing. I don't know why that's uncomfortable. But
jeans and mom's couch. That's a Star Slip reader.
Jeans and what?
Jeans and mom's couch.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Didn't we do this one convention? We figured we – like Brad – Evil Inc. readers are – what was the reduction of an Evil Inc. reader, Brad?
They're wearing a superhero shirt. Right.
And it's an old shirt, and it's got the ink on it has started to crackle, and they've got a little gray hair. A little hair, a little bit of a pot belly, and, you know, so they're maybe 40s, 50s, and you can tell that they can name off every penciler that the Avengers series has had since, you know, 1963.
Yeah. I was going to say, if you ask them who is the Silver Age writer on the Avengers, they're like, oh, and they start listing them out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the key, I remember the key point for all of our readers is that Chris's were young and hipper. Mine were, Nurse summarizes a Sheldon reader. A nurse.
A nurse. I think that's fair. A nerd summarizes a Star Slip reader.
And I think Brad's the key point was the extra 20 pounds or the shirt.
Yeah. Oh, but you've completely skipped Chainsaw Suit, which is a revelation to me that I've discovered in Seattle, which is the popped collar frat boy type.
What?
Which and they've got their attractive blonde girlfriend there, and I'm going, hey, Star Slip, what do you think? It's about space? And they're like, I don't care about that. Oh, you draw Chainsaw Suit. I love this. I didn't know you were going to be here.
Yeah,
and they couldn't care less about science fiction.
That's literally one of the weird things about that strip for you is that you literally have two hats that you wear at a convention.
I didn't know which hat to put on.
Well, no, I mean like you have like Brad and I. It's gotten to the point where I can pitch to without even Brad there. I know a Star Slip reader or an Evil Inc. reader when they walk by,
right?
And Brad knows a Sheldon reader when they walk by without me being there, and we can sell each other stuff. And and the same is true for a lot of Star Slip. But with Chainsaw Suit, you have to do two different audiences for the same artist, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I think my audiences would fight.
Yeah, they don't want to stand next to each other. I know that.
They come to the table at the same time.
Well, no, the Star Slip people are happy to be standing next to another human being. The Chainsaw Suit readers are they're much more discriminating about not standing next to the Star Slip
readers. Star Slip readers. Nobody's allowed to make fun of you but me. Fill Dave's inbox. Mail.
Don't. You know why? There's no. Come on. There's no bigger Star Slip fan than me. Come on.
That is pretty true.
I'll tell you it's not for not loving my own stuff, but I think Star Slip is a better script than mine.
So oh, come on. I don't think. We could do this all day.
I'll tell you what, because I have my copy that I purchased recently. If you haven't picked up the Fables book, bam, that is some damn good art in it, Brad.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
No, I'm not plugging that but for being a plug. I genuinely think that's the best art you've exhibited in book format, and it's so good. I really want people to check it out.
And you want to talk about like a different putting on another hat too. There are a lot of sweet and genuine stories in here.
Oh, there's a lot of sweet stories in there. I think there's a lot of heart in that book.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. When you were talking about wearing two different hats, I was kind of thinking a little bit about that for Wizard World, which is coming up here in Philadelphia in a couple of weeks, and what experience that's going to be like. Because there are going to be a good number of people there that are going to know me just as Fables, and they're going to see these evil ink drawings behind me and wonder, you know, what's going on.
Mm.
Yeah. But please tell me you're going to plaster your booth with Fables signs.
Oh, yeah. Especially for Philly, I'll make sure there's real strong Fables signage. And I'll also let you know I found if the quality's any good and they should be delivered tomorrow, I think I found a really good outfit for doing retractable banners. And the price was awesome. So if the quality was good, I'll be telling you guys about that probably next podcast.
Oh, nice. Okay. The one that I've been looking at for Half Pixel Shows on the Road, there's this really neat stand that a lot of people sell it. It's an 8x8 retractable stand, 8 foot by 8 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think that would be kind of cool for us. Well, we don't need to talk about this on the podcast, but that would be a nice little signage to have for a convention, 8x8, because it travels well.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, now we're getting boring. We're just like – and I'm thinking about moving to cotton socks. I'm finding that polyester makes my feet sweat, and I'm not enjoying the experience. I think – you know, and cotton supports American industry, and I feel good about that. And anyway.
Let's bring this one in for a landing.
All right, Jen, shall we wrap it up?
Webcomics Weekly.
We should do it like
Webcomics Weekly.
We shouldn't have gotten Bradley. Die one.
Chris, I can guarantee you, we very much should have given Bradley. Especially with as evidenced by that laugh. I love the follow-up laugh. That was great.
All right.
And we've gotten 20% less funnier as time has gone on. So let's end this. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been the Brad Geiger and to a lesser degree the Dave Pellet and Chris Straubauer here at Webcomics Weekly.
Fare thee well.